There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hey, fuckers, what up? It's Christina Hutchinson.
And Corinne Fisher. You are about to listen to a clip from our show, guys. We fucked the anti-slut-shaming podcast. Today, we interview stand-up comedian Kenise Mobley, and we talk about a lot about dating apps.
Yeah, dating apps. Should we get on them? Should we not?
How to do it, how to navigate it.
Quarantine.
Zoom dating.
Ooh, Zoom dates. Mm-hmm. Gone awry.
Yeah.
If you want to listen to the entire episode, head on over to luminarypodcasts.com, where you can get a free trial and a subscription for as little as $2.99 a month.
Tell us a little bit about like your upbringing, where you're from, how your parents first talked to you about sex, just to lay a little bit of foundation.
What do you think it was when you were little?
Nice. So I am from Charlotte, North Carolina.
I just flew back from there. How serendipitous.
Everyone has been to the airport. Very few people have been to the city.
I was in the city. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I was like, everyone's like, your airport's clean. There are rocking chairs, et cetera. And I'm like, yeah, there's like more than that. Not much more than that, but there's like a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
It's fine. But my family is religious. Like I cannot show them most of my stand-up because they are very much so about God and chaste and respectability and stuff.
Oh, so their God doesn't like comedy.
Their God does not like comedy. Their
Damn,
God does tough. Not like women who have orgasms. Their God does.
Oh, that's not a God that I want on my side. Yeah, I know. I just went to the Billy Graham library. It doesn't seem like he likes come a lot. So
his grandson, I think, went to my high school, and he was like the cool guy who was part of like the football team and the young Christian athletes group. Ooh. It was like, okay. We never spoke, but I knew that he was
good.
So my mom told me about sex though super early though. She told me when I was 6 years old. She was like, whoa. Okay, sex is when a man puts his penis inside of a woman. And then sometimes there's a baby.
Wow.
Yeah, but she didn't say that the man takes his penis with him when he leaves. So I was very confused about what penises are, what they were supposed to do, what you were supposed to do with them.
New gift that you've been given, stick inside of you.
Yeah.
Wow, that was it. That's, you know, it's not a comprehensive sex talk, but that is pretty upfront to tell a six-year-old.
Yeah. Well, we asked because she felt pressure. And so she just spat out like the first thing to come to mind because we found tampons in my older sister's purse. And so we were like, what are these? You need to explain them because you've been keeping this secret from us. And she was like, my older sister was like, it's a pencil. And we're like, you cannot write with this. This yeah. is a lot.
Yeah.
And then she was like, okay, sits us down. There are periods. People bleed. It's because you have babies. A man puts his penis inside you. You have a baby. That's tough.
Good day, Kenise.
When did you figure out that that's not what it was? There was more to it.
Probably when I saw porn for the first time. I will not forget this. We had all talked about watching Real Sex on HBO on the school
yes.
bus.
Always, yes, always.
And like, I hadn't seen episodes where like peen and vag happened, but I had seen it and we talked about it. And then a guy invited everyone who had talked about it on the bus over to his house. And we went into his like back room. Uh-oh. And he put the TV on. And it's just like a group of like 12, 13 year olds just watching porn. Just like,
wow.
But like from a scientific, like, what
are they
this?
Doing?
That's yeah, like, that seems weird.
Like, was there penis and vagina in what you were watching at that guy's house?
There was
house?
A little bit of penis and vagina, but it was a long period of cunnilingus, and we were just like, we don't understand. Like, there's yeah. like, and the lady had like bright red fingernails, and that was part Whoa. Of it. It was like a whole thing. Yeah.
Wow. See, yeah. See, no one. You never. And then, did you have sex ed? If it was your school religious?
We did have sex ed. No, like okay. my school, I went to public school. I
mean, okay, very, nice.
Yeah. They were like, sure, whatever. And it was a program called FLEBISH is what the acronym was. It was Family Living, Ethical Behavior, and Human Ooh. Sexuality. And we had to take like tests on like the male anatomy and what penises were yep, and yep, female yep. anatomy, that sort of stuff. Yeah.
What was the ethical behavior?
Yeah, that was my same exact question. Yeah.
Oh, that's great
question. In the eye of the beholder.
They had They had quizzes, and I'll never forget these quizzes. It would be like, okay, you have to think about which of these activities are risky. Okay. So it'd be like, one, walking alone with a boy. Two, a guy comes over to help you paint a room while your parents aren't home. Three, like slow dancing with them. It was like, but the
wait,
most
did girls get quizzed separately from the guys?
I think it was, I put it in my head as like, oh, you're with a guy, but it was like a girl and a boy at a house. Da, da, da. And they said the most dangerous one was painting a house with a boy when your parents aren't home.
Because he might the most fuck dangerous. You or
he
what?
He might fuck you. Yeah. You're going to get those paint fumes and you're going to get real horny, okay? And then you're going to have to fuck on the floor of a newly painted room. It's like an important.
You better run away from him or he'll fuck you.
Because my hope was that obviously like the ethics would be, you know, not putting this burden on the heterosexual the women, but it would be teaching people that, you know, about consent, et cetera.
No, and,
you
know, no.
Not to rape. But I figured.
Don't rape.
I figured, you
it's
know,
really simple.
You're not 11 years old and even 11 year olds might not have gotten that good of a sex education. That's pretty new that we're just telling people, oh yeah, no, if you want to have sex, like both people have to want to do it. That's part of it.
That was never part of the conversation. That was
I was gonna say there was no talk about consent in your sexual health, right?
No, not at all.
So when did you start having it and did you have to keep it from your, because where your parents don't have sex until you're married kind of Christian?
So my mom less and less over time, nice. But certainly when she first described it to us, it was like a, when you're married thing. I told my mom the day I lost my virginity, like she and I are just like super close, but I lost my virginity. I came home. I like went to sleep. I woke up and I was just like talking to my mom, just like, hey, so I lost my virginity. This is what happened. It was like this. And she's like, are you happy about it? And I was like, it was fine. He took a long time. So I just like went to go make a sandwich after a while because we had to go to the movie. Like we had bought tickets to go see Daredevil in theaters, the Ben Affleck one. And beforehand it was like,
we gotta fuck before we see this.
We should have sex. Yeah. So we had sex. But he has this weird penis issue where like his foreskin wouldn't retract all the way.
And so it was, like, you had really to pull painful. It down.
Yeah, it was like you had to pull it down, but also like if it was like about to come, it was like that hard, it was like painful for him. So it was like always like okay, get it to a level where it's good. Okay, it feels painful, back down. So it was just like a long time.
Wow.
And I was like, we are going to miss our movie. We bought tickets. What are we going to not use these tickets that we bought? So after a while, I was like, you finish up here. I'm going to make a sandwich. We are going to go to the movies. Yeah.
Was that his first time too?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. And so you told your mom the next day and she was like, okay, as long as you're happy.
Yeah, she was like, at least I know where you are. Because like then we like had sex a lot of days after school. So he would drive us to his house. We'd hang out. Then I'd go back home. She's like, I know where you are at least. Like he seems like a nice guy. You seem like a responsible person.
Your mom trusts you to take care of yourself in that way. That's really nice.
How old were you at that time?
17.
17. Okay.
Yeah. That's so sweet. Was he your boyfriend?
Sweet. Chill.
He was for, my like, boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
It's kind of nice. So we broke up on again, off again for like literally the 2 years, 3 years that we dated. We were on again, off again the whole time. And I had just gone up to a debate tournament in Boston. I'm very cool. I was in high school debate.
Yeah. No, debate. First of all, debate is a lost art because no motherfuckers on television know how to do it anymore. Debate is a skill.
Debate is awesome.
I honestly really love watching debate, like traditional debating, because there's rules. You can't be a dick, you know?
Don't worry. You're speaking to the Rotary Club Oratorical Contest winner over here. Yeah. So and, I don't think you're a dork.
And the Philadelphia Shakespeare monologue first place.
What?
Yeah. So congrats, we're amongst congrats. Yeah.
Right. We love talking. And shut us up.
I had gone up to a debate tournament where we got to stay in a hotel in Boston. Ooh. And the whole hotel was filled with like debate students from other schools.
It's like that's so fun.
It was so fun. And then it was a blizzard, so we got snowed in. All of our flights were delayed, so we just like took over this hotel.
Okay. Nice. Yeah.
And I did meet a guy, and it was like I called my boyfriend. I was like, we're over.
Oh my god.
Well, hey, you didn't like him that much to begin with though.
Fix that foreskin, buddy. I'm a free woman. Call me never.
It was like, I don't want to cheat on someone. That's wrong. So what I'll do is I'll break up with him. I'll hook up with this guy.
So I can hook up with this guy.
Yeah. And then, we'll see what happens. Yeah. I was trying to be responsible. I fool around with that guy in Boston, and then I come back, and then my boyfriend's like, we're back together and we should have sex. What did you do with this other guy? So there was like weird manipulation at play.
Yeah.
But overall it was like fine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Not the worst, but not the best, but you live and you learn.
They didn't tape. Like when I went on school trips in high school, we would have security guards in the hallway in the hotel.
They would tape our doors.
They would tape the doors shut too. Yeah.
So they know you didn't get out.
Yeah.
They didn't do that.
On your trip?
They didn't do anything like that.
We're from the Northeast, which is like usually theater kids more are chill. Gonna I can't believe this. Yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
They were like, do whatever you want.
Is it hard to get a condom on a dick with foreskin? Is it harder?
With extra foreskin?
Yeah.
I usually make the man do it because I'm like, your dick better than I do. So figure it out.
That's me too.
I tried to sexily put on a condom before and I'm like, you do it. Come on, you do this.
Yeah.
Like a hand job.
Yeah. Like putting on a condom on a man is like trying to put, having a man put a bra on you. It's like, you're just fumbling. Just stop. It's uncomfortable for everybody.
It's not hot. And when it's not a smooth assembly, it's not sexy.
And also like, I don't have small tits. So I think like, if there's a lot of pressure on the bra, you can do that one like wrist move and have it come off. But it's like when you have an A cup, there's not the pressure that makes it bounce like
you just
that.
Take scissors and you go.
So it's like, this isn't going to work for anybody right
single
now.
Use bra.
I just thought about like having to buy bras every time I slept with someone.
That would be
such
terrible.
A love-hate relationship with bras.
That would be terrible.
Hey fuckers, hope you enjoyed that chunk of interview we had with stand-up comedian Kenise Mobley. For the whole interview and other episodes of Guys We Fucked and other episodes of podcasts by Michael Rapaport, Roxanne Gay, Lena Dunham, and so many more, only on Luminary. Head on over to luminarypodcasts.com.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.